Thanks for listening to Stage and Studio. I'm Sarika Mehta, and today we're featuring an interview with documentary filmmaker Vidyut Latte, director of the film Beyond Silence. Vidyut Latte is a filmmaker based out of Los Angeles, California. She was the executive director and producer for many radio and television programs in Mumbai, India. Currently, she is a filmmaking consultant with the Filmmakers Alliance in Los Angeles. Her documentary film, Beyond Silence, has been screening at festivals around the world. This film examines the deaf and hard of hearing community in Mumbai, India. But rather than painting a picture of patronizing disability, this film attempts to understand the deaf community from their own perspective. Back in March, I met Vidyut Latte outside the Union Station in Los Angeles. We talked about how she, as a hearing person, became interested in filming the deaf community.
I would say I was studying in San Francisco State University, doing my master's in radio and television. My emphasis was documentary filmmaking. And typically, you know, as you have your student jobs, one of my jobs was audiovisual technician. And while I was doing my job one day, I saw the president of the university was addressing a whole crowd of new students. I saw just beside him, there was a lady standing there signing simultaneously, right at the same time while he was talking. And I said, wow, I know this is sign language, but in all my 29 years of my life in India, of living there, I never saw anybody doing that at public places or at public conferences. And why is this complete neglect towards this community? And who are these people? And what kind of arrangements do I have in my country, you know, for these people? So that was, I would say, the trigger for me to get to know about the deaf community. And I kind of felt it was almost like a need for me to know about them. You know, it was an urge. And then I spoke to some people. And then that is how, you know, I came about actually working on this project. Yeah.
And you mentioned that your sister-in-law is an interpreter. So tell us about the experience of working with her and with the deaf community when you were developing this film.
Sure. So, yeah, as I said, I really got interested in the sign language and in trying to know about deaf community in India, because I knew, looked like, you know, obviously US had much more awakening, you know, in that sense about the community and about the language and their needs and their requirements. So I was just talking to my husband about it, and his sister, my sister-in-law, is in the profession of interpreting. She was actually training herself to become an interpreter that time, and I spoke to her and she was fascinated. She said, you know, I have so many things to share with you. And then we got talking, and then we got to know about the ratio of, you know, sign language interpreters to deaf people in India, and the lack of basic amenities, you know, in terms of having interpreters at public places, no, absolutely, you know, having sign language instruction at deaf schools, and the general, I would say, apathy towards the cause of deafness and deaf people in the home country. And one of the most important thing, I think, what she's shared with me was that the deaf people, they don't feel that, you know, they are lacking somewhere in any of the sensibilities of life, you know, which probably hearing people are always proud of. They feel they're very proud of being deaf. They just want the hearing community to accept that, acknowledge that. And I found that was very interesting. And my whole documentary is actually skewed towards that perspective, that, okay, there are nuances and there are aspects of, you know, what they're lacking in their life, but they are very vociferously trying to tell people that, yes, we are deaf, but we are proud to be deaf. Just hear us out, you know, quote unquote, and try to understand our perspective. Just don't try to make us hearing, you know, the way you are, you know, live and let live. Just let us be, you know, just try to give us the amenities that we deserve as the citizens of this country. And that what that entails is interpreters, you know, probably, you know, having medium of instruction as sign language in deaf schools, having many, many more interpreters at public places, having captioning services on television. You know, these are some of the important things that you need, you know, as any citizen, you know, as a legal citizen of a country.
And actually, that is a good transition to my next question. The deaf community has challenges in this country as far as rights and movements, but we at least have, from 1990, the Americans with Disabilities Act, which protects some of the rights and requires interpreting services and things like that.
Yeah.
Can you talk about the parallel of experiences and challenges in India with the deaf community?
Well, what I discovered during my research and while even shooting the documentary was that there's absolutely a very skewed ratio of what facilities and amenities that government, or for that matter, the society at large has provided to deaf people. The most current figures that I have with me, while I was shooting, actually, they were like really far, far different than what I have now. But they're still, you know, really alarming. That is, like, there are just 250 certified interpreters for around 18 million deaf people. That's one of the most recent figures that I've got from the census report from India. Now, 250 certified interpreters. When I say certified interpreters, they are not really, you know, regularly practicing interpreters. We don't know how many people really go out there in the field and do it day in and day out. We don't know that. But they are qualified, yes. So, again, you know, that's an alarming figure, because if you have 250 people for, like, really not good. Yeah. So that is one of the things. There are no captions on television. Because I guess there is this big myth in India, and maybe in many other countries, that all deaf people can lip read. And this is one of the biggest myths. And Mike Morgan, a linguist and deaf activist, and I have interviewed him for my documentary, and he actually threw some really fascinating insight into this. He said most deaf people cannot read lips 100% because it's impossible. It's impossible for anybody to read lips 100%. So this whole myth about, you know, when you have television going on, that deaf people can just look at the television announcers or, you know, characters and they can understand everything, it's just bizarre. So we don't have captions. We don't have good number of interpreters for people out there. There are more than, I think, 800 deaf schools in India. On an average, there are just like maybe one deaf interpreter available in every school. So most deaf schools don't have facilities of providing education to students in sign language. So the emphasis of providing education to deaf students is only through oral methods. And that is what is practiced, and that is what is encouraged and highly recommended. Even during the shooting of the documentary, I came across many schools and many educators who felt that it is for the benefit of the hearing people that deaf students should learn, you know, hearing methods, you know. I mean, they should learn to talk and learn to lip read. So this is another thing. This is the third thing. The fourth thing is that we don't really have the TTY service, the text phone service, where a deaf person can call a service where, and there is an interpreter waiting there. We don't have anything of that sort. Of course, we don't have a university or a separate college. There's absolutely none of these facilities available in India. So all in all, you know, the deaf community is really deprived in that sense, I would say.
This access to information for the Indian deaf and hard of hearing community is not only limited in the media, but in education as well. There is an unfortunate myth that all deaf people can read lips, and as a result, should be taught their academics in speech rather than sign language. Vidyut Late expands on this.
I wanted to go back to something you said at one of the schools, that they were talking about the benefit of hearing people. Maybe expand on what that means for our listeners who haven't yet seen your movie.
Yeah, so during my research and when I was shooting at one of the schools, it was a deaf school, and I mean, the people over there really were very welcoming, and they wanted to enforce what their side of thinking is, because I was trying to tell them what the deaf people feel. The deaf people typically feel that none of the deaf students who go to deaf school are really educated. They just cram the stuff, whatever, you know, lessons they are asked to learn every day. They just cram. They just try to, you know, just put it out there during examinations, and that's it. If they pass, that's it. They are promoted to you know, the next level. Most of the students lose interest because they don't really get interested in the topic. If they use sign language, they'll be taught better. The deaf schools mostly don't use those tactics. They mostly emphasize only on oral communication. And the reason they say is that it's for the benefit of hearing people, because obviously the majority of the people around are hearing. And it is, in a way, a deficiency. You know, it is kind of something that deaf people lack in themselves, and hearing people are here to empower them by teaching them oral method, communicating in spoken languages. And that's what deaf schools are actually doing in India. And they believe that that is the only way you can educate deaf students. But deaf students and deaf activists have, you know, shared with me that that is not the right way to teach them. The best way is sign language, and maybe bilingualism. That is the best way. You know, you can learn it. But the emphasis has to be on sign language, and that is not happening there.
This also brings up the point that India is super multilingual, and especially in a city like Bombay where your movie is shot. So we're talking about lip reading, and I know people code switch a lot across a variety of languages. For me, it begs the question, how somebody can lip read across five languages exactly. for one thing and then be expected to achieve this with any grain of success. And also, with India having such pride in the many languages, or why is sign language in India not included in that pride?
There's not much awareness about it. That's the first thing. I mean, I have seen incidences while I was growing up there. If you see somebody signing, you know, at the railway station or at any public place, people used to ridicule that. You know, they were like, oh, who are these people and why are they signing? You know, there's just no awareness that this is a language, like all other spoken languages in the world. This is one of the languages that we need to accept. And there are people who use that language to communicate in their everyday life. And they're absolutely fine with it. You know, they have learned it. And there are hearing people now, like yourself, you know, who are learning it to become trained interpreters. I mean, there are linguists, you know, who have been studying this language for years now, you know. It's just that India right now, I mean, maybe things have changed in the past 3-4 years, but still now I would say there is not much awareness. I didn't feel, well, I was growing up. I'm talking about and sharing something while I was growing up there. You know, I lived there for like 28, 29 years of my life, but there was not much awareness about it. Mostly, I would say the language is interpreted as gestures. There's a big difference between gestures and a language. I don't want to be judgmental only about Indian people, but probably where there is not much awareness about sign language, they probably interpret it as, oh, it's a language about gestures. These things are not true. I mean, people are educating themselves to have a bachelor's and master's and PhDs in sign language linguistics. We are talking about something really far away. But at this moment, why sign language and acceptance for the deaf life or deaf culture is not there, I think primarily is because of lack of awareness. Lack of awareness of the fact that there is a life that this community has imbibed and they are very happy about having it and they have a language. The larger hearing community need to accept that.
So speaking of this awareness, tell us about your experiences while you were filming. You had mentioned that you felt that you were the one impaired when you were in the deaf community.
Oh yeah, that was, I think, one of the most fascinating experiences of my life, where I, being a hearing person myself, you know, it kind of just hit me that how it is easy for us to just address somebody as, oh, maybe he or she is handicapped, or maybe, you know, he or she belongs to the disability, you know, group. Because one of the deaf persons in my documentary, he pointed out that in one of the conversations, and I've shot this in the documentary, he said, when a hearing person comes into our community, he or she is handicapped. So being handicapped is just a label. So if the hearing world calls me handicapped, it's fine. But when you come into my community, you are also handicapped. And of course, he was absolutely 100% right, because when I went to their community, I was there for like 3-4 months just shooting with them and trying to talk to them rather. And in one of the conversations, I was trying to have this conversation with one of the deaf persons where, you know, we were trying to schedule an interview. And he was talking to the interpreter, and the interpreter and this deaf person, they were constantly communicating, and I was just left like an outsider there. I kept just looking at their faces, not knowing what they were talking about. And they were talking about the documentary. They were talking about scheduling the interview. And I myself was like totally oblivious to what they were talking. And I said, wow, I'm handicapped here. And they're so right about it. So it's about different perspective. You know, it's about having a different perspective, a different aspect of life that I got to know about it. And I hope when people watch this document, they also get to know about it.
If you're just tuning in, you're listening to Stage and Studio. I'm Sarika Mehta, and we're featuring an interview with Vidit Latte, director of the documentary film Beyond Silence. This film chronicles the experiences of the Mumbai deaf and hard of hearing community. In the next part of the interview, we discuss the perspectives of the hearing families of these deaf participants, many of whom don't sign.
And also in your movie, you interviewed a number of deaf adults. The parents of some of these deaf adults who don't sign, but they have obviously raised these children in Bombay. And you had some really touching stories. So talk about the stories and also how you were able to form this relationship with these families.
Talking to parents of deaf children, I would say it was an overwhelming experience. More so because they wanted to share so much about their lives, about the struggles they have gone through. Because let's understand, I mean, Indian society is different than most of the Western societies that have accepted deafness as a way of life, comparatively at least. So in India, it's still I mean, it's almost like a taboo to talk about, oh, your child is deaf. Oh my God, is it some past life curse? Is it your karma? You know, so there are lots of other things that probably most educated and modern people cannot really even empathize with that. What? I mean, what has it got to do with any curse? But that's the reality. You're born deaf because probably you did something wrong in your past life. And that's what people try to associate with you. So when I was talking to these parents of deaf children, I would say they were so welcoming. And they really probably liked the fact that somebody is just interested to know about their lives. Because most often, you know, it's more like, oh, your child is deaf, you need help, you need support. And there's more of, you know, sympathy associated with it, which they just want somebody to hear them out. And there were incidences, like I spoke to these parents, and they told me the struggles that they have gone through about how their neighbors didn't allow their kids to play with their kids just because they were deaf. You know, as if it's some kind of a contagious disease. So you can imagine the kind of awareness one has living in a society like that. And so that was alarming for me. And it was very touchy where some of the parents really cried on camera. And they said, we are very proud about our deaf children. And they are better than our hearing children. Because, yeah, they are extremely, extremely loving. They care about us. They are more understanding. Because they probably understand the unspoken emotions, you know, that we emote to them as their parents. And most hearing kids probably, you know, want them to be said, oh, we love you, you know, okay baby, you know, we love you a lot. But probably a deaf kid just understands looking at his or her mom, you know. So I think that is what they were trying to emphasize, that they understand the hidden emotions, the unspoken love for their kids. And they're so understanding, they're so loving, they're so mature. Even if, like, they were living in a city like Mumbai, which is so noisy, parents of most deaf girls, they're worried about them. Obviously, you know, being a girl, that too, in a crowded city like Mumbai, that itself can be very overwhelming for any parent. Here was a lady, a mother of a deaf girl. She said, I'm so confident about my child. Of course, I'm very, very protective towards her. And that is another thing that I could understand from their conversations. They are very protective about their kids. And that also becomes a major tiff between the kids and the parents, because obviously the parents want to protect their kids. As such, it's difficult for a hearing person to survive in a big city, but for probably deaf kids, it's going to be all the more difficult.
And to be fair, all of our parents were protective of us, no matter what city we grew up in.
Exactly.
Hearing, deaf,
exactly.
American or Indian, we all had to struggle with our protective parents.
Absolutely. I mean, Mumbai, I mean, I love Mumbai city, but you're right. Like, every parent is always going to be extremely protective about their kid, you know, whether it's Mumbai, Delhi, like anywhere in the world, San Francisco, Los Angeles. But here the case was about, you know, okay, they are deaf and it's a noisy city, it's a crowded city. If my kid goes out, and what if he or she doesn't hear a car honking, and, you know, what if he gets run down by a car or a bus,
like,
you know. Yeah, absolutely. And that is something the deaf kids really didn't like, obviously, because, you know, nobody's going to like their parents being overprotective. And so we actually have a conversation there in the documentary where this amazing mother of two deaf kids, she's saying, why don't you guys just come home early? And these deaf kids are saying, oh, come on, why are you being so overprotective? Just let us be. And so that was fascinating. So I would say the debates and discussions, like any other family, were absolutely the same. But yes, the parents of deaf kids, they did have slightly more to talk about their deaf kids, and that was that they were extremely proud about them.
That's one great positive thing that has probably come out of this discussion. We've talked about the challenges of the parents raising deaf children in India with the lack of awareness and all other barriers to access to information. Since shooting the film, have you seen any other positive results come out of access for the deaf community or other changes?
I worked with the Aliyavar Jung National Institute of Hearing Handicapped while I was shooting the documentary. And I've got to know that they have introduced several courses, you know, where they are trying to make media accessible for disabled people. That has been, I would say, massive, you know, awareness about disability issues, about, obviously, you know, primarily deafness. And sign language interpreting has also, as I said, when I was shooting the documentary, the number of interpreters was far less than what it is now. I mean, 250 it does sound very less in comparison to probably many other countries. But when I was shooting, the figures were really, really low. So that has definitely improved. I mean, not improved to the extent that we can say it's amazing and it's the best for the country, but that has definitely improved. There are talks of improving accessibility to media services in India. Obviously, sign language, introduction of sign language in schools, that is also, you know, talked about. And while I was working on the documentary, I worked with this really great organization, Ishara Foundation, which emphasizes on bilingual education. So at that time, they were visiting around 9 deaf schools, and their volunteers used to go to these deaf schools and teach English in sign language. I'm sure now that has also maybe expanded. I don't know exactly, I don't have the figures, you know, to how many schools now they go and visit. But at that time, they had started that whole movement, and it was really showing great results. So yeah, I mean, there's definitely some improvement, but it's still not there.
How have the reactions been in the hearing communities, and how have the reactions been in the deaf communities, both here and abroad?
It's amazing because firstly, I think this film, maybe probably one of the first films I would say, I can say that, is championing the deaf cause without labeling the deaf community as handicap or putting forward an issue which is a disability issue. So whenever I even submit my film to festivals, I don't like to showcase it as a disability issue film. You know, it's not that. It's a human issue. So the acceptance at, I would say, at film festivals and, you know, whatever public screenings and private screenings we've had has been amazing, because here is a perspective where we are trying to put forward a kind of thinking that, okay, probably we lack one of the sensibilities that other hearing people have, but this is our life. And we are happy to be in our skin. We are happy to be deaf. So try and listen to our perspective. I think that is what people have loved about the film. And that is what when people see and they say, wow, we never thought about it. Like, for example, there's a couple in the film that is deaf. They have a hearing child, and they say, oh, we are very obviously proud and happy to have a hearing child, but we would have been happier if she was deaf. So I think such things are really new for people, but that itself shows. And they say, the mother of the kid, she says that, you know, if a deaf kid is, it helps in growing deaf generations, which is fascinating. This whole idea itself is very fascinating for hearing people all around the world. And it has gone to festivals. It was at the Cannes Film Short Film Corner, at Cyprus, in Greece. It actually had its Indian premiere in Mumbai just a month back. And in fact, won an award, a short documentary award. So, I mean, that itself, you know, kind of really gives you that recognition and that proof that, okay, people are somewhere, you know, liking the fact that here is a perspective. It might be definitely different than most perspectives you hear and see about people, you know, who are conventionally having a handicap or they come under the umbrella of disability issue. But here is a perspective, you know, we need to listen them out. Whether you agree or not, it's totally different. Because when you talk about deaf people, you have, you know, things about cochlear implant and, you know, recognition and identification of deafness in early ages and how deafness can be corrected. You know, those topics are going to come up. And we can have separate discussions for that. But we, at this moment, the discussion is about accepting the deaf life. And this is what I think people have very gradually, of course, you know, it's a moment, it's going to take time, but very gradually people have started accepting that. And in fact, Mike Morgan in the film, he also emphasized that in many countries, deaf people have started advocating the fact that sign language or deafness is one of the ethnicities. So deaf people belong to an ethnic group.
What would you like people to get out of your film if you, I mean, many things I'm sure, but if you had to collapse it into, you know, one answer.
I definitely want people to watch this film and take away with them the very simple thing, live and let live. Don't try to change somebody just because you belong to a majority community. Just, you know, don't try to make somebody talk to you in the same tone because you talk to them in the same language or in a particular language. So it's something like, you know, if you don't agree with somebody, agree to disagree. So if they have a way of life, you need to acknowledge that. You may not like it. You may not agree with it. I mean, I would say most people who are, you know, who advocate cochlear implants and who advocate changing deafness into, you know, into hearing, and that are, you know, just trying to teach deaf students only through oral methods, they probably will have a big issue. in accepting that, oh, you know, you're not going to teach students through oral methods? Oh, come on. How are they going to get educated? So there's going to be a huge debate about it. But that's fine. What we are trying to make people understand and to take away from this film is just hear them out, you know, actually hear them out. And I think the onus is on us, because when you go to a foreign country, you know, you don't try to expect a French guy to talk to you in English. You know, you'll probably start learning, you know, a little bit of French about how to say good morning, good evening. And it's the same territory, I would say. If you want to go and communicate with a deaf person, try and learn the nuances of their culture. Try and learn some little words here and there about, you know, sign language, and just you'll just discover it's so fascinating. So that's how you're going to communicate better. Because deaf people, definitely, they understand. They are educating themselves bilingually. Everybody is doing that, and they have to do that. Most deaf kids and deaf students in India, they have to actually learn four languages. Yeah. One is an international sign language, one is an Indian sign language, English, obviously, because it's universally accepted, and their local language. So you can see the onus is so much on them for them to literate themselves in four languages. So, you know, learning one more language and just trying to, you know, better that communication gap, I think is the need of the hour. And that is definitely going to give more acceptance and acknowledgement. And it's a human issue. Let's not, you know, make it a disability issue or something, you know, which we just have to put under the umbrella of, oh, it's not my issue. No, it is a human issue. It's our issue. It's a fellow human being's issue. But to say it in a very concise way, what people should take away from this film is the acceptance of deaf life, of their language, and their way of life. Yes.
Thank you so much for chatting with me.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me. Thank you.
You've been listening to an interview with filmmaker Vidhu Dlate, director of the documentary Beyond Silence. This film profiles the deaf and hard of hearing community in Mumbai, India. You can learn more about her and her film at her website, vidhulate.com. If you missed any of this show, visit stageandstudio.org. You can also download shows at iTunes, and don't forget to like us on Facebook, facebook.com/stage_studio, or tweet us at @StageNStudio. This has been Sarika Mehta with Stage and Studio. Thanks for listening. Mm-hmm.